This is the voice of DC cab drivers, brought to you Sundays from 7 to 8 p.m. by Dominion of Cab Drivers here on WUST 1120 AM. You can download and listen to past programs at thefightback.org.
A few months ago, you asked us to form an association. We have formed one association. The name is Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers. Join that association. We don't need another one. If we join, everybody joins our association, we'll be successful.
I'm Pete Tucker with The Fight Back, thefightback.org. In addition to listening to the voice of DC cab drivers here on WUST 1120 AM, you can listen live on your phone at 712-432-6620 or online at WUST1120.com. Again, in addition to listening to the show on the radio, you can listen live on your phone at 712-432-6620 or online at WUST1120.com. And if you miss any information, you can find the full audio for this program at thefightback.org starting tomorrow. Please let your friends know that they can listen to this program as well as past shows whenever they want by going online at thefightback.org. And for smartphone users, you can download and listen to past shows using your phone. Tonight, we host a discussion on the difficulty in hailing a cab for those with service animals. We'll be joined by Jim Dixon of the American Association of People with Disabilities and the Equal Rights Center. Dixon was testifying at the June 22nd Taxicab Commission hearing when the Park Police entered and arrested two reporters, myself and Jim Epstein of Reason TV. Appearing recently on News Channel 8's News Talk, Dixon discussed the event with host Bruce DePoit.
I'm curious, what was it like from your perspective, sitting at the witness table, attempting to give testimony that I know you had given some thought to?
Yeah. First of all, I was shocked. I have never seen reporters kicked out of a public meeting before. And I think that reflects the strong desire of the Taxi Cab Commission to make its decisions in the dark.
To keep the public out.
Keep the public out, keep the drivers out. It was utterly stunning. And neither reporter was interfering with the hearing. They were both behind me. I didn't even know they were there until the cop came.
It must have been a moment of, what's happening here? Give us a sense of the testimony you were prepared to give. What points would you have made had you been able to testify uninterrupted, as it were?
For people with disabilities and African-American males, there is an outrageous situation that the Taxi Cab Commission has let go on for years. Cab drivers will not stop and pick us up. I have a service dog. He's calm, quiet, he's here at my feet.
He's a sweet dog, great animal.
Yeah. They, cabs routinely will slow down, see the dog, and then pass me. It happens so frequently that as I'm running around for meetings,
right,
I will stop a good Samaritan on the street, ask the Samaritan to flag a cab, and I'll step back from the curb because I know they're going to give the Samaritan an argument. Now, this isn't all cab drivers, but it is a sizable number, and the Taxi Cab Commission does a terrible, flunking job at educating and training cab drivers.
You came to the studios today by cab, correct?
Yes.
How did that experience go? No names or don't name any drivers or companies, but how did that experience go?
It worked just fine. There's a world of difference between cab drivers who work off the phone and many of the cab drivers who work off the street.
If you call, do your odds of success go up?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. We have video that you've provided, and it shows an experiment. I want to roll the video, and I want you to describe the experiment, if you would, Mr.
Sure.
Dixon.
Okay.
You send people out into the street.
Yeah. We have tried to get the D.C. police to do sting operations just like this, and they refuse. We've tried to get the Taxi Cab Commission.
And we're seeing the video right now of the person at the curb, and the cabs go by, and It appears sometimes that they will, if there are two people out at the same time, and this was the test, let me have you complete the thought. Forgive me for interrupting.
That's all right. We sent out a person with a service dog and a second person, both of whom were trying to flag a cab. The 60% of the time, cabs did not stop for the person with the service animal.
Mm-hmm.
Often when they would stop, the able-bodied person would say, this person was before me.
Mm.
And the cab driver would say, no, I'll take you.
Wow. That's a real in-your-face kind of...
I have cab drivers once a week say to me, I'm going to charge for the dog. That's against the law. It's another example of the taxi cab commission. If the dog is a passenger.
Huh. And the law is, does the law speak to this?
Yeah, the law says
I mean, common sense does. Common sense is this is rude and wrong, but educate us as to the law.
Yeah. The law says that a service dog rides for free. It couldn't be clearer.
Right.
It's city statute, it's federal statute.
And it's decency.
And it's human decency. It really gets bizarre. I've had cab drivers say to me, I know I charge for the dog, how much is it?
Oh, wow.
That was Jim Dixon appearing on News Channel 8's News Talk with Bruce DePoit. Later in the program, we'll be joined by Dixon and others as we host a discussion on the difficulty of hailing a cab for those with service animals. This is the voice of DC cab drivers, brought to you by Dominion of Cab Drivers, a member of the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers. The Small Business Association consists of the following driver-owned cab companies and associations: Allied, Ambassador, Black Pearl, Camel, DC Professional Taxi Cab Drivers Association, Dominion, Grand, Luxury, Pleasant, Seasons, Swift, Travelers, UCC, Washingtonian, Welcome, and Wonder Cab. For those interested in becoming a member of the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers, you can find out more information by visiting the offices of the driver-owned companies that make up the association, such as UCC, Luxury, and Grand. You don't have to be a member of a driver-owned company to join. For example, even if you work for, say, Silver Cab, owned by Mohammed Momen, or if you work for any of the more than dozen cab companies owned by Jerry Schaefer, you can still become a member of the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers. Of course, if you're driving for Jerry Schaefer or for Mohammed Momen, you're working for an owner who supported a medallion bill that would have caused thousands of drivers to lose their jobs. That medallion bill has been held up thanks to the impressive efforts of countless drivers and the organizing of the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers. Speaking to Washington Post reporter Mike DeBonis, Ward 3 Councilmember Mary Che, chair of the newly formed Committee on the Environment, Public Works, and Transportation, said of the medallion bill, "It's one of those things that doesn't sound like such a great idea." Councilmember Mary Che now has oversight of the Taxi Cab Commission after Ward 6 Councilmember Tommy Wells was removed as chair of the Committee on Public Works and Transportation. Tuesday, Council Chair Kwame Brown discussed his unprecedented committee reshuffling and insisted that his removal of Wells as chair of the Committee on Public Works and Transportation was not political payback for Wells' investigation into Brown's ordering of a fully loaded Lincoln Navigator. Here is Council Chair Kwame Brown's comments from Tuesday about why he shuffled around the committees. He's questioned by Tom Sherwood of NBC4, Washington Post reporters Tim Craig and Mike DeBonis, and Patrick Madden of WAMU.
Tommy Wells has done a phenomenal job on transportation issues, and I think this would be a great opportunity for him to head up Office of Planning as well as the National
Planning
Corporation.
There's a certain constituency that liked Mr. Wells and the committee that he had.
Yeah.
Did you factor that into your decision before you just made this abrupt change?
Yeah, well, I factored in the decision that, you know, in terms of Councilmember Mary Che and her commitment to transportation, more importantly, the environment, and Herb focuses on that, and that's what I took into consideration.
Councilmember Wells doesn't have a commitment to transportation and the environment.
I didn't say he didn't.
You said you focused on Mary Chase.
No, he asked me.
So he must come out second in that list.
Well, once again, we've created a comprehensive environment around environment and took environment out of government operations and put it as part of transportation. And when I did that and laid that out and look at the possible choices, she said that's something she'd love to have.
It seems like you're consolidating your power and your influence within the council.
And if so, why don't you just say that, and then it'd be so obvious?
I don't believe that that's all the way necessarily true, Tom. Mm-hmm. I do understand it could seem that way, but that's not the intent or anything like that.
So what did Councilmember Wells do wrong as head of the...
Councilman Wells is a good friend. I think Councilman Wells does a great job in Ward 6.
What problem is being solved by this unprecedented midterm committee shuffle?
Well, it's not a midterm. You keep saying it's a midterm. We've always committed in January. I mean, we always committed that after the budget, we would deal with reshuffling some of the committees. That was the commitment that I made, and we would do it right before we left for recess. When they said what committee Vincent Orange was going to have,
the problem at hand is that the Economic Development Committee is vacant. What I don't understand is what problem necessitated the reshuffle of the Transportation Committee, which has nothing to do with the Economic Development Committee.
You have a couple things. One, you have the Economic Development Committee. You have the situation with Councilmember Thomas that was talked about and what we were going to do. And I said after the budget, we were going to move in this direction. That's a commitment I made to everyone.
None of those agencies are involved. So there must be something aside from economic development that where there's a problem that has to be solved. I'm asking, what is that?
No, I said that we are moving the Department of Environment. I was creating a focus on the Department of Environment. So if you look at government operations and environment was a committee, we took environment out. And now you have that as part of Department of Environment and Transportation and Public Works, all being on recycling, all being on the Office of Energy, which is now going to be inside of everything comprehensively.
But it wasn't like there was a problem with the environment. Mary Chase was doing fine with the environment
payback, Mr. Chairman?
No, it was no political payback at all. That's one that's not factual. I have
not
a tremendous amount of...
Not one council member agrees with you.
Well,
ones who agree with what you did.
Who are they? Who have said that? Not one have told me that.
So what is the message this sends to other council members by moving Wells off of this committee?
No, I think it shows that we're going to focus on getting people to work. It's going to focus on our jobs. It's going to be focused on workforce development. It's going to focus on small business. And we're going to focus on making sure that we have a comprehensive look at environment and planning for the first time.
Were you upset when Councilmember Wells released that draft committee report on the SUVs?
No, I think he did a phenomenal job. Councilmember Wells is a great friend. I think he's done some phenomenal work down here, and he's a good friend. I have a tremendous amount of respect for him, and I think he's done a great job.
So this is not political payback.
Mr. Chairman, you're
That was Council Chair Kwame Brown speaking to reporters Tuesday on the fifth floor of the John A. Wilson Building. Brown removed Ward 6 Councilmember Tommy Wells as Chair of the Committee on Public Works and Transportation, replacing him with Ward 3 Councilmember Mary Che, who will now chair the newly formed Committee on the Environment, Public Works, and Transportation. Tuesday, Wells also spoke with reporters. Wells said, "It's never happened in the history of the City Council that 6 or 7 months in, for no cause, a committee has been shifted like that." Wells said, "It's not a good precedent for the city, and it's not good government."
Well, the main thing is that I have a vision for the city about creating livable, walkable communities for Washington. I can do that from any committee. And so, my concern, of course, is that we've got 6 months of good work, and it takes a while to hire up a committee. I probably had some of the finest, experts working on this. We teed a lot of things up. And so I, of course, have concerns that was a waste of resources for the city government and that it'll take another committee at least 6 months to get up to speed. So I do think that's bad for the city. But meanwhile, I know that I can continue to move a strong vision for Washington from any committee I sit on.
Can you explain one more time? You came to last night. We're here this morning for the council session. It was just last night at, 9 p.m. you were called in to say that you were no longer going to be heading up the Transportation Committee?
That's right. That Chairman Brown had given the committee to Mary Che.
Are you surprised at this?
Of course. Very surprised. It's never happened in the history of the city council that, 6 or 7 months in for no cause or anything, that a committee's been shifted like that. Of course, it's not a good precedent for the city, and not a it's not good government.
You've done a lot of work getting up to speed on these issues. It's somewhat discouraging to find this last minute move.
Well, it's a waste of government time and resources. Of course, I hired a committee, an expert committee, and they did a lot of good work. I did a lot of meetings. I held meetings in Ward 7, Ward 8. Spent a lot of time engaging residents to improve transportation for the city. Now, I'm not saying that the next chair can't do the same thing. It just wastes time and sets us back a little bit. And so I'm very concerned about that.
Why do you think you were moved off this committee?
I'm baffled.
Well, in the absence of any other explanation, the speculation would be that this SUV business, you got two up in the chairman's grill about the SUV, and this is payback. B, you don't play well with your colleagues. They can't trust you, or they don't know where you're at on their issues. You're not dealing with them. Or C, I don't know what C.
Well, I'm consistent on ethics and good government. I think everyone knows that. I don't compromise on good government. And I really do believe that the transparency, and then also, again, campaign finance reform, ethics reform, I think that may make some of my colleagues uncomfortable, but I don't compromise on that. That's true.
That was Ward 6 Councilmember Tommy Wells taking questions from reporters regarding his removal as chair of the Committee on Public Works and Transportation by Council Chair Kwame Brown. Later, Wells answered additional questions, including from Tom Sherwood of NBC4.
The chair asked me to come down to the Wilson Building at 9 last night, and so he said that he would be assigning the committee to Mary Che, and that I would, he wanted to give me Parks and Rec and libraries, which, you know, the thing is that I believe that, you know, I have a very strong vision about creating a livable, walkable city, and I can do that from any committee, but no, he did not give any reason.
Do you think this is payback for the SUV investigation?
I really don't want to speak to that. I want to speak...
Is that because you think it might be true, but you just can't prove it?
I think that the chair did not give a reason, but it is noted this has never happened in the history of the council, that, you know, for, you know, not... you know, doing anything wrong, actually doing a good job of the committee. My concern is that a lot of resources are wasted and a lot of time is wasted. That we spent the last 6 months putting together a very good committee staff. We obviously did quite a bit of work on the budget, and so that we could move Circulator over to Ward 7 and Ward 8. And that we could also improve bus service for the other parts of the city that have been neglected. So I am concerned that that work is somewhat wasted. Let me just,
the question I'm trying to get to is, the chairman just last week had his political campaign committee referred to the U.S. attorney for criminal investigation. Even some of the chairman's closest advisors have said he shouldn't be blowing up the committee structure. What do you think about that reasoning?
Well, I think everybody knows I'm fairly uncompromising regarding ethics, campaign finance reform, and really being sure that the council improves its track record on issues when we run for office.
Since that SUV report, has the chairman expressed to you any displeasure about it?
Look, I think we all know that the chair was not happy about that report. But again, the thing is that you'll have to ask the chair for his motives.
He praised you for the work you did.
He did a phenomenal job on that.
We did do a very thorough job on that report, and we've done a great job of the committee, and I'm not surprised that he praised the work of the committee, because we've done excellent work.
That was Ward 6 Councilmember Tommy Wells speaking to reporters, including Tom Sherwood of NBC4 at the John A. Wilson Building on Tuesday. Late Friday night, Councilmember Wells broke the news that Scott Kubley, who was a taxicab commissioner, will no longer be working for DDOT, the District Department of Transportation. Wells tweeted, "Streetcar czar Scott Kubley leaves DDOT." City Paper noted, "Scott Kubley, who has been in charge of the District Department of Transportation's Progressive Transportation Services Administration since 2009, is stepping down. Kubley is perhaps best known for his management of the streetcar, but his portfolio also includes the Circulator bus and bike share programs." Councilmember Wells favorably compared Kubley to former city administrator and WMATA interim general manager Dan Tanglerini. Wells said, "Kubley is impatient, creative, and effective in government. But D.C. taxi cab drivers feel a bit differently about Kubley, who has served on the Taxi Cab Commission for several years. Native Washingtonian, earlier today I spoke with Native Washingtonian yellow cab driver Carolyn Robinson, a member of the Small Business Association of D.C. Taxi Cab Drivers. She discussed Scott Kubley's service on the Taxi Cab Commission.
Well, Scott Kubley is an employee with the Department of Transportation and has the auspices of some of the things that he helped with the Department of Transportation or were under his purview, per se, were the bike share program from DDOT, and he also was responsible for the streetcars that are over on H Street, and the streetcar tracks, I will say, that's over on H Street, and those that are around South Capitol Street. But Scott Kubley, being an employee with the Department of Transportation, I had always felt that it was a conflict of interest that he was a taxi cab commissioner, because those two entities that I just spoke about really were a conflict and competition for D.C. taxi cab drivers. But Scott Kubley was chosen. He systematically was appointed by the mayor, Adrian Fenty. And Adrian Fenty had Scott participate in a lot of the oversight hearings instead of Chairman Swain. He was the person who helped draft some of the regulations that they really copied from the New York transit system. Taxi system, rather. A lot of the D.C. meter regulations were really copied from the New York taxi cab system, which is a totally different, because District of Columbia is a metropolitan city, separate and distinct of any other metropolitan cities in the United States or the world. And Scott Kubley didn't attend a lot of the full commission meetings, therefore there wasn't a quorum. So, personally, I don't think he really had a genuine interest in the taxi cab commission. A lot of the people that are the commissioners are, I don't think have a real interest. I think it's just something to add on to their resume with their experience, because they really have not been even a public member. I believe Scott was a public member, because he certainly couldn't have been a industry person, because being a government entity, and even though he's with transportation, he is could not represent the taxi cab industry, you know.
And now he's no longer with, well, he will be stepping down from District Department of Transportation, we've learned this weekend. What are your thoughts about as far as now he's leaving District Department of Transportation? It's not clear whether he'll continue to serve on the Taxi Cab Commission. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, Scott shouldn't have been confirmed as a commissioner in the first place. And even though he's leaving DDOT or stepping down from DDOT, I don't feel that he has any genuine interest in the taxi cab. Scott's opinion is to, he's one of the proponents that wants to, let's say, have a corporate takeover of the taxi industry. You know, again, mimicking the regulations that are in New York. You know, and that's not good for D.C. You know, if he had a genuine interest in the industry, he was trying to improve the industry, because that's what the Taxi Cab Commission really, when the Establishment Act was identified, it was supposed to be an arena to help the drivers. And if everybody is negative talking about the drivers, then they surely cannot be an asset to the to the Taxi Cab Commission or the drivers that are in the industry, taxi cab drivers and limousine drivers, you know, that really needs to be, as I say, we really almost need the Inspector General to oversee it, some of the activities that go on in the Taxi Cab Commission.
That was Carolyn Robinson discussing Commissioner Scott Kubley earlier today. Tuesday, appearing on WTOP's Ask the Mayor with Mark Seagraves, Mayor Vincent Gray said of the Taxi Cab Commission, "We want to get a permanent taxi cab chairman in there, and then we'll make some decisions about the future configuration of the Taxi Cab Commission." Gray also said that interim chair Dina Reed was not on the list of candidates being considered for the position of permanent chair.
Let me ask you about the Taxi Cab Commission. It was big news. The Taxi Cab Commission had two reporters arrested at a public meeting for trying to videotape that meeting. When I went to the Taxi Cab Commission the next day to try to talk to someone, I was thrown out by a security guard who then locked the door of the Taxi Cab Commission office and turned out the lights. And all of your employees, the Taxi Cab Commission, hid in the dark in the middle of the day from, you know, from this reporter. I'm wondering your thoughts on how the Taxi Cab Commission is being run.
Well, that was an inappropriate thing to do. And as you know, we had nothing to do with the arrest. Those were the park police.
Well, they were instructed by D.C. government employees to make those arrests.
But the park police have to make that decision for themselves.
So you blame the park police for this?
This was in a park police facility. The more fundamental question is, you know, I believe in transparency. And I believe, in fact, I saw one of the reporters who was affected by this, and I frankly indicated to him that I felt that that should not be done. Our attorney general has indicated he's not going to be pursuing any prosecution of people in this situation. So, you know, Mark, that we've really increased the transparency. We've done a lot to be able to open the doors to the press. And
are you comfortable with the leadership at the Taxi Cab Commission?
Well, we have interim leadership there at this stage. We want to get a permanent taxi cab chairman in there at this stage, and then we'll make some decisions about the future configuration.
Is the interim director on the list to be the permanent director?
No, she's not even interested in the job.
That was Mayor Gray appearing on Ask the Mayor with Mark Seagraves on WTOP. Gray discussed his desire to get a permanent chair in place before making decisions about the future configuration of the Taxi Cab Commission. Well, last week, here on the Voice of DC Cab Drivers, we hosted a debate on the future of the Taxi Cab Commission. The position of the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers is that the Taxi Cab Commission should not be eliminated, but instead should be brought into compliance with the 1985 Taxi Cab Commission Establishment Act, which calls for three industry representatives to be on the commission. Presently, there are none. Joining us last week were two of the leading voices calling for the Taxi Cab Commission to be reconfigured, if not eliminated. David Alpert, editor-in-chief of Greater Greater Washington, and Washington Post reporter Mike DeBonis, who joined us in studio. You can listen to the full debate at thefightback.org. Here's a clip from last week's show, beginning with Hymenat Bizuayahu, board member of the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers. Bizuayahu laid out his concern that if the Taxi Cab Commission is folded into a larger agency like DDOT, drivers will be further disenfranchised. Following Bizuayahu's comments, you'll hear from Washington Post reporter Mike DeBonis and then David Alpert of Greater Greater Washington.
Well, our number one concern is that if the Taxi Cab Commission is being eliminated and the regulating authority is given or placed under the Department of Transportation or any other larger agency, that the voice of the drivers will not be heard. We all agree with Mike and Mr. Alpert that there is a problem at the Taxi Cab Commission today. But that problem, we believe that as a driver, can be fixed. Fixing the problem is much better than just eliminating the Taxi Cab Commission altogether. Because I think the problem is not with the structure of the institution. We believe that the problem is with the people who are assigned there without having knowledge of the industry, or maybe those people assigned there as commissioners are not getting proper compensation for the time. And then because of that, they are not going to really a good job there. And that makes everything look bad. So that it's a matter of fixing the commission, not eliminating the commission.
It seems to me that, do you want to jump in, Mike?
No, go ahead.
Okay. It seems to me that one of the reasons we've gotten in this position, and you know, drivers for years have been calling for the Taxi Cab Commission to follow the law and have industry reps on it, and that's been ignored. And then now we see with the arrest on June 22nd and the following after a huge amount of discussion, and yet drivers' voices, in a lot of instances it seems, are still to the side. And yet, talk a bit about the Small Business Association. It represents some 4,000 drivers. And so it seems like it should be at the table when discussing taxicab issues.
Yeah, that's what we have been saying for years now, especially during the previous mayor, that all the authority was taken away from the commission. And because of that, it really makes our industry look bad for in the public, in the eye of the public. They were, if there is even a policy, I mean, there is a policy. We know it is true that there is a policy. That policy, if properly implemented, will be, I think, will govern the industry in a very better and effective way. But the problem is not being that policy is not being properly applied, because the people who are there either are not either they are not interested in doing that because of their the time, or maybe they don't really understand the industry at all. I mean, I know that there is maybe a complaint, and in that enforcement issue, I mean, enforcement issue can be strengthened by maybe placing the enforcement issue back to the MPD, Metropolitan Police Department, instead of leave it with the 7 or 8, or I believe there are 16 taxi hack inspectors. So enforcement can be strengthened that way. And the policy already there, and it can be very effective, and no need to eliminate the Taxi Cab Commission.
I just wanted to add one thing, and just to commend Hymenot and everyone for actually getting together with the Small Business Association to have one collective voice for the owner-operators, which in the past I know has been an issue, is that there just hasn't been organization. There hasn't been political organization and just people speaking with one voice. And I think that if you can keep this up, if there is a definite voice of the independent taxi cab driver, I think you'll be surprised at how much you can influence this debate in a way that it hasn't happened before. As David was saying, you can talk to your council members, you can talk to the executive bureaucracy, you can talk to the taxi cab commission, and to be organized is a great thing, and a powerful thing.
David Alpert, do you want to jump in before I get Ali's thoughts?
I completely agree with what Mike just said. There are a lot of whatever ends up being done with the taxi commission. I think the obviously the real important issue is the actual taxi policy, and there are a lot of areas of policy in the city where there are well organized groups that are able to advocate for the needs of certain folks and make sure that their voices are heard, and that's very effective. I would love to have on Greater Washington, for example, I'm sure in the Post we'll be seeing, some more discussion about some of these actual policy issues. What should we do to improve the way that taxis operate and to make things better for both drivers and riders? That's really going to be the conversation we need to have going forward. And having drivers organized with spokespeople who can, effectively advocate for the issues that are facing drivers, it's going to be very powerful, and I think a lot of people are going to be listening.
That's the voice of David Alpert of Greater Washington. Mike DeBona.
I just wanted to add one thing. There's been a lot of talk about in the context of the medallion bill that, we have these powerful lobbyists. Everyone, talks about how this is being done at the behest of Jerry Schaefer, who's bought, who's paying John Ray to introduce this bill. Well, you organize and you have a voice at the table every bit as powerful as John Ray's or, Jerry Schaefer or anyone else. That's the power of this process. And, I think what we're seeing is okay. The people who have money and influence and power can sort of buy themselves a seat at, their position, can get the discussion going about it. I think that the independent drivers are saying that, you have the same power to start a discussion and sort of change that discussion in your favor. You can pay for your own lobbyists, but you don't really even have to do that. You just have to be organized and speaking in one voice.
That was a clip from last week's debate on the future of the D.C. Taxi Cab Commission here on The Voice of D.C. Cab Drivers with Washington Post reporter Mike DeBonis, Greater Washington Editor-in-Chief David Alpert, and leading driver voices. You can listen to the full debate online or even on your smartphone at thefightback.org. This is The Voice of D.C. Cab Drivers, brought to you by Dominion of Cab Drivers, a member of the Small Business Association of D.C. Taxi Cab Drivers. The Small Business Association consists of the following driver-owned companies and associations: Allied, Ambassador, Black Pearl, Camel, DC Professional Taxi Cab Drivers Association, Dominion, Grand, Luxury, Pleasant, Seasons, Swift, Travelers, UCC, Washingtonian, Welcome, and Wonder Cab. For those interested in becoming a member of the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers, you can find out more information by visiting the offices of the driver-owned companies that make up the Small Business Association, such as UCC, Luxury, and Grand. Amrius Wilsenu is a member of the Small Business Association and organizes a popular Saturday night phone conference which deals with the latest issues facing DC Taxi Cab drivers. Every Saturday night from 9 to 11 p.m., you can join the conversation by calling 712-432-3100, and the code is 140465. All this information will be posted at thefightback.org starting tomorrow. In the past, we've described the Saturday night conversation as a phone conference for those speaking Amharic, but increasingly it's being conducted in both Amharic and English. Last night, for example, I worked with Aramis to produce a half-hour segment in English for the phone conference, and will now be doing that on a weekly basis as we work our way up to producing a full hour in English as well as a full hour in Amharic. We're also coming up, we're going to hear from Jim Dixon. I hope we're having some difficulty getting him on the line. But I wanted to play the clip from the June 22nd public meeting of the Taxi Cab Commission. Jim Dixon of the American Association of People with Disabilities was testifying when U.S. Park Police officers entered the auditorium and arrested me and then another reporter, Jim Epstein of Reason TV. Here's some of Dixon's June 22nd testimony, which was interrupted by the arrest.
The only way I can effectively flag a cab is to stop a stranger on the street, ask that person to flag me a cab. Every time this happens, the good Samaritan who's helping me says, here comes a cab. The cab is slowing down. Now the cab is driving away. Happens over and over and over again.
It's a public meeting.
You do a terrible job.
I'm a reporter. This is a public meeting.
What's the problem?
I'm a reporter in a public meeting.
Okay. You can come with me or you can get locked up.
You're going to lock me up for recording a public meeting?
You cannot stop a reporter from that. That's outrageous.
Sir, you can't arrest me for reporting.
I can arrest you for not obeying an order.
I'm a reporter. This is a public meeting. This is a public meeting.
Come with me now.
Sir, this is a public meeting.
Last chance.
Sir, this is a public meeting.
Last chance.
I'm a reporter.
Stand up.
That was from June 22nd. Jim Dixon was testifying, and the U.S. Park Police entered, and so he didn't get to finish his testimony. And I'm sorry he hasn't been able to join us. This is a prearranged schedule to have him come on and discuss the serious matter of those with service animals not being able to hail a cab. I did want to play another clip of Dixon. This is him appearing on Bruce DePoit, News Talk with Bruce DePoit recently. This is among the issues I was hoping to discuss tonight. Let me play the clip. He calls for sting operations regarding DC taxi cab drivers. And in light of the fact that at the moment drivers continue to be, you know, outside of the political process, I was hoping to discuss with Jim Dixon about the possibility of coming on these airwaves to make progress on the very serious issue, as opposed to calling for further cracking down on drivers. But here are Dixon's comments on News Talk with Bruce DePoit.
What you saw in the video is something that the New York City police do periodically. They'll send out police officers, one with a service dog, one in street clothes, and if a cab refuses to take the service dog, they issue a ticket on the spot. We have tried to get the Taxi Cab Commission to do this. Nope. Tried to get the D.C. police to do it. Nope.
This is Jim Dixon from News Talk with Bruce DePoit recently. We're going to keep reaching out to him. Hopefully we can get him on the air. In the meantime, we have Pete Harmon, who joins me on the line, a driver with Diamond and with Dominion of Cab Drivers and a member of the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers. Pete, we're going to maybe do a shorter version of this discussion in light of the fact that we haven't been able to get Mr. Dixon on the line. But welcome to the program, and I know this is an issue that you take very seriously and have pushed very hard to get this issue discussed on the Voice of DC Cab Drivers.
I was rather discouraged and surprised and kind of appalled to hear that the difficulty people with CNI dogs were having trouble getting cabs. We need to consider be very much more considerate of them and really do our job in terms of picking up these people with dogs. I know a lot of drivers come from cultures and countries where they have a fear of dog. They think they're unclean and stuff, and it just kind of. First of all, these dogs are very well trained. They're mostly labs. I've had a lab before, and I've had people break into my house and did nothing to a burglar, much less a small child or a cab driver. And you're very safe with them. I don't have that many CNI dogs. Except with Diamond, we get radio calls, and it's absolutely no problem. And it's just really your duty to pick them up. It's a moral issue. I mean, you could be disabled sometime, or remember your family could be, and we need help. And also, they're using this issue against us. From my understanding, for months they tried to get a hearing at the Taxi Cab Commission about the CNI dog problem, and the only time they brought the people in was when they were discussing the really onerous changes to Title 31. And they brought the newspaper in, newspaper people in from the Washington Post, and they were, instead of writing about how bad how 31 was going to help destroy our industry, they were going to write about nasty cab drivers not picking up people with CNI dogs. So I think you need to be careful, just because it's the right thing to do, obviously. If you see somebody's blind, disabled, with a dog, in a wheelchair, make an extra effort for them. One thing will always have their business. And I really don't understand drivers, especially now as slow as business is and the number of cabs out there, why anybody would be passing people up in those situations. It's not a security issue. These dogs are very safe. They're very clean. It's just not a problem. I mean, the worst you'd have to do is take a whisk broom and maybe brush a few hairs out, and they're cleaner than a lot of our customers. I also want to speak on what Carol was saying about Scott Kubley.
Pete Harmon, just hold on one sec, because we have Jim Dixon on the phone with us, to say. Jim, no, we don't. Okay, I'm mistaken about that. So go ahead, Pete Harmon. You can talk about what...
she was talking about Scott Kubley had no interest in the taxi industry or wasn't qualified. I think it's wrong to say that. He has a very great interest, and he wanted to transfer, Tommy Wells wanted to transfer the Taxi Cab Commission over to its functions over to the Department of Transportation so we'd have no oversight. He was involved with he is trying to bring in a corporate takeover, whether they call it Medallion or they call it something else. There's a lot of ways they could do that. They could say you could have brand new cabs. They all have to be hybrids, all sorts of electronic equipment in your cab. Everything that, they've done in New York and other cities. In Philadelphia, they have systems like that where the driver pays two-thirds of the meter. The whole point of what the Taxi Cab Commission has been doing, it's not dysfunctional. It's been functioning just the way the city wanted, especially Mayor Fenney wanted it. It's functioning in a manner between the regulations and harassment is to put us out of business, to get rid of private owners. Mr. Swain sent on June 23rd 2008, just before the meters went in, that we only needed 3,000 cabs. Subsequently, he licensed almost 3,000 new drivers and made it very easy for them to get licenses, even doing a test in pencil so the answers could be changed. We have to realize that they want us out of business. These guys, of course, these new drivers can't own their own cabs. They thought that these guys would replace us. These guys don't want to replace us. They want to keep just working and own their cabs or be able to rent a cab cheaply like you can do in this city. What we have to get out to the public again and again, and we've been somewhat successful with fighting a medallion bill, is that driver-owned cabs provide more cabs more cheaply than any other method. We have far more cabs for residents than any other city in the country, and we have the lowest fares. We obviously need $2 a mile. That would have made us revenue neutral with his own system, and people still have about the cheapest cab fare in the country at $2 a mile. That's pretty much the minimum anywhere. I think Chicago's low at $1.80 a mile, but every other city, rich or small, poor or rich, has at least $2 a mile meter, as much as $2.80 a mile.
All right.
In Boston. So anyway, we need to get that out to the public. But we got to realize what they're trying to do is to put us out of business. And we have to be united about that. And we have to dream about getting medallions for ourselves and be rich. We just need to try to keep our business and stay in business.
Thanks, Pete Harmon. Also joining us now on the line is Negede Abebe, who is chair of Grand and Travelers Cab Companies and a board member of the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers. And Negede, before I get your thoughts, I want to welcome Jim Dixon to the conversation. Jim Dixon, welcome to the voice of DC Cab Drivers.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with all of you.
Yeah, it's great to have you. So I don't know if you've been had a chance to listen in, but we played some of both your testimony that was interrupted on June 22nd, as well as the beginning of the show, a conversation you had with Bruce DePoit recently on News Channel 8. But take a moment and really lay out what some of what you experienced and what you need to see happen, what we as a city need to see happen regarding those who attempt to get taxi cabs who have service animals like yourself.
Well, first I want to say it's not all cab drivers that are problems. Most cab drivers are pretty good. But routinely, taxis do not stop for somebody with a service dog. With the Equal Rights Center, we did a study where we sent out teams, somebody with a service dog, somebody able-bodied, and a videographer. And 60% of the time, the drivers refused or passed by the person with the service dog and, offered to take the able-bodied person. That's not acceptable behavior. The law says that there are fines that can be issued for failure to transport. And what the city needs to do is a sting operation where officers go out with service dogs accompanied by an able-bodied officer, and when a cab driver refuses to stop, the driver's issued a ticket right there and then.
Jim Dixon, are you at all concerned that you – I think are aware of kind of the perilous political position that drivers are in at the moment, that without any seats on the Taxicab Commission going to industry reps, that having the Taxicab Commission or the MPD doing a sting operation going at drivers right now would result in they could come up with huge fines and so on, but the potential of not making headway but having further problems for drivers. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, we support the, and are pretty ticked off. We support the driver's right to have three commissioners and AAPD, the American Association of People with Disabilities, has sent letters to all of the city councilmen and the mayor, stating that we've requested meetings with the chair of the Transportation Committee and the mayor, and those meetings are not only for AAPD, but are for the American Council of the Blind, the National Federation of the Blind, and Paralyzed Veterans of America, and our demand list is immediately put the three drivers on the commission and do the sting operation.
I know this is an issue that the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers is taking very seriously, and we're joined also on the line by Negede Abebe, who's a board member of the association. Negede, welcome.
Thank you, Pete.
Your response to what Mr. Dixon has laid out?
Yes. I thank you, Mr. Dixon. And let me say this. In the past, my company, Goodwill First, Gandhi, the travel company, was started working with a private investor since 2009. It's called Taxi Rata. And the main objective of that company was to provide a dispatch system to DC residents. And we were interested to work with that company because there are so many complaints about the driver discriminating people with service animal, discriminating people living across the river. So many, complaints. So we would like to solve that problem. So we were working with this company called Taxi Radar. And in the last 2 years, they were making different researches, and they bring that findings to us. We will try to apply it, and we command them to improve areas of improvement. But now we reached at the level where this system can be effectively be used by a passenger, visitor, or residents of D.C. Whenever they want to order a cab, they just can order a cab on their smartphone, and they will be notified right away what kind of cab is coming, how long it will take him, and the person or the passenger who ordered that service will view it in real time how far that cab is from picking that passenger. So there is very digital, smart system which can, avoid all this problem of, discrimination, be it for people of service animal or any passenger who feel will be discriminated. But in the past, the problem with us and with this company was we don't have any partnership with the DC Tax Cap Commission or DC government, and we were trying to be have an effective partnership to improve the industry, the service of the industry, because we felt that this is a vital service sector that provides for the visitors, international or local visitors of the nation capital, residences and business peoples. So the association, we introduced this concept with the association. The association studied the last 6-7 months, and the association agreed with this service, and we are now ready to go and provide these services. If you have any question, I will answer it. Thank you.
So, Negede, this is something that is going to be implemented very soon with the smartphones, but today. So if someone is out on the street with a service animal, what we're hearing that studies show is that oftentimes they will be passed by, I think 60% of the time is what the study that, if I'm remembering correctly, that Mr. Dixon cited, that someone with a service animal will be passed by. So what needs to happen today, tomorrow, in the days and weeks ahead? Yes, this smartphone technology is coming, but what about in the next week or two? What needs to happen in order to make progress on this very serious problem?
It's Pete Harmon. Can I stick in my 2 cents?
Hold on 1 sec. Let me get Negede in.
Yeah. You know, the association and the members of the association, driver owned companies of the association, will have a strict policy when it comes to discrimination. And when it comes even with service animal, we are very serious, and we try to educate every driver to be vigilant in, you know, not discriminating, not by passing by any passenger with service animal. And we encourage them to provide, not only stop by and pick them up, but to provide all the necessary services until they, when they get into the cab and when they get out of the cab. So the association and all companies below, members of the association, well, have in the past disseminated this information, and we'll continue doing that. And if we find out any member of the association or any cab driver who did that, the association and owner companies and all other companies will take very severe measures. But let me say one thing. You know, the traditional way of flagging down a cab is just raising your hand. But now it is changing. You know, most of our customers and most of the passengers need eye contact nowadays. And, you know, you just see this guy, if there's an eye contact, he need a cab. But so when it comes to his service animal, people, the driver has to be, you know, careful not to pass if they saw a service animal, people walking on the street or standing somewhere. They must make sure that they stop and ask this passenger whether he needs a cab or not. So this is what we encourage and will strictly implement or strictly follow up on this kind of matters.
That's the voice of Negede Abebe. Jim Dixon, your response?
I think it's simple that the law has to be enforced. And when other cities have done this, the driver stops and pick us up, and the problem goes away. I think the technology is interesting, but not all blind people can afford a smartphone. I have one. I'll certainly try that. But the law is pretty straightforward, and it's time that it be enforced.
The Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers represents some 4,000 drivers. I know the organization is interested in meeting with you and others who have done an excellent job raising this issue. Have you met with the driver-led organizations? Are you interested in doing so?
We're very interested in doing so.
Pete Harmon, I know you wanted to jump in. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, my 2 cents, of course, is the city. We have to be careful of the city, and Mr. Dixon is aware of this because I talked to him when I gave him a ride home back to his office. They're going to use their issue to help put more of us out of business. You know, D.C. has 5 times more cabs for residents than any other city, and I would imagine, on average, it's easier to get a cab quicker, able-bodied or not, in D.C. than anywhere else. In fact, most of cities similar size and population, you can't get a cab away from downtown on the street. That said, drivers need to be aware if they don't feel that they're doing, it's not a moral issue for them, they should realize that there may be a sting operation and they're going to get a $500 fine. If they do it 3 times, they get their license revoked permanently. So they need to pick up people with CNI dogs. The dogs are no problem. If they have any cultural biases or fears of dogs, they need to get over it if they're going to drive a taxi. It's very clear. There's no reason. It could be your mother or your sister or somebody else is blind in your family that needs a cab.
Thanks.
You've got to be. I think that's the main way of we solve this problem is the drivers have to be aware of it. It takes a little longer sometimes for somebody with a CNI dog or, but no big deal. I mean, there's we need the business, and there's no reason we should turn it down. And you know, reason even if it's you know regulate goes to Hyattsville's blind, it's not a good fare, but we always take her a diamond. I mean, there's no reason anybody should be turned down because of a disability. And drivers, if they're a good Christian or a good Muslim, you should do this. Absolutely.
Thanks, Pete Harmon.
Peter, let me jump in.
Nigeria Bebe. Please, go ahead.
We discussed this issue. With the chairman of the Small Business Association, Larry Franklin, and all other board members. There is some, we find out that some drivers, for different reasons, cultural, religious, or any other different reasons, might not be, happy or interested to pick service animal passengers because of the dogs. But this is what we come up as a solution. If that driver, for cultural or religious reason, will not able to pick him a service animal passenger, he has to stop and flag another car for him and explain to his fellow driver that because of his religion or something, he was not able. But this might be, I personally suggest, if my religion would not allow me to pick up a passenger with service animal and I don't feel comfortable with riding a dog behind on back seat, I would have to stop and explain the issue to the passenger and flag it and another car for him and explain to a fellow cab passenger and fellow cab driver and get a cab for the passenger. This might be, I encourage every driver who has a problem with this, but we will come up with a permanent solution and an effective solution how we can serve better for passenger with service animal. But the association is still discussing, and we are making some researches, how can we effectively provide this service for passenger with service animal. Thank you.
Jim Dixon, a number of cab drivers, particularly DC taxi cab drivers, listen to this program, as well as in neighboring jurisdictions as well, but particularly DC. Are there any words that you care to share, any further issues that or aspects of this issue that you'd care to address?
One of the things that drivers will say is, I have an allergy to a dog. But, the regulations are that they need to carry a letter from a doctor that documents that, because there are drivers who just lie about having an allergy. If a driver's got a dog allergy, I don't want to make that driver sick. I think it's perfectly appropriate for that driver to not pick me up. But there needs to be some proof in the cab that that's the truth.
That's a very good point.
Well, yeah. On that, my sister was trained as a veterinarian. Very few people have allergies to dogs. That would be case, but, you better have that letter with you when they do an operation and they hand you a $500 ticket and tell you you're going to lose your license the next time you do it. I've talked to a few Muslim drivers about this, and nobody really seems to think there's any religious prohibition against this. And all the drivers I talked to were Muslims that basically, if you think it is against your religion, you shouldn't be driving a cab. They were very adamant about
right.
it.
We've spoken to three imams of mosques in D.C., and they tell us that there is no prohibition against dogs in the Islamic religion.
That's what I thought. I didn't speak to any definitive.
I have a question.
That's what I was impression. Yeah, that's really important to let drivers know that they can't use that.
yeah.
as a reason or excuse.
I have a question for Jim Dixon. How do you know how neighboring jurisdictions do on this issue?
And it is less of an issue in the neighboring jurisdictions because they have relatively, they're telephone cab services for the most part. It's not the kind of downtown where people are hailing cabs off the street. There have been a few incidents with telephone cabs, but the dispatcher usually straightens those out.
And what's your experience? I think you mentioned on News Talk with Bruce DePoit that calling a cab in D.C., you have good results from that.
Yes, yeah. Calling a cab is not a problem.
Okay, let me say, though, you shouldn't have to call a cab to get a cab if you get one on the street.
Pete.
And second, I work at Diamond, and I know the dispatcher, if somebody refuses to take a CNI dog, they're off the air for the rest of the shift. They're going to lose lose money, period.
Thanks, Pete.
Sorry about that.
Let's let him finish. Thanks.
Pete.
I do want to address the whole medallion question. We are strong believers that small business people need a level playing field. We, along with our colleagues in the disability community, are looking into that question. We're not ready as a coalition to give a position on it, but we all believe that the rules should be fair to the independent business person, and that any changes in the taxi cab system need to protect the independent driver and should not turn the business into a monopoly.
Jim Dixon, I have a last question for you, and then we'll get final thoughts.
Last question with Jim. Was it a few months before you were trying to get an audience with the Taxi Cab Commission for a few months, and they finally invited you for the meet we're going to discuss Title 31, is that correct?
Yes. We actually, we went to a meeting that was canceled.
Yeah.
It's pretty clear to me that the Taxi Cab Commission has a deliberate strategy to hold their meetings in such a way that there is little public participation as possible. They put them in buildings that nobody can find. They announce the meeting at the last minute. They cancel meetings without proper notice. It's a pretty disgraceful operation.
Jim Dixon, as you through the Equal Rights Center, I guess through other groups, have kind of followed how other cities have made progress on this issue. You mentioned sting operations. Has an approach been used with sitting down with some of the driver-led organizations in other jurisdictions, and has that garnered any success that you know of?
I don't know the answer to that question. It's a good question. I'll find out.
Okay, thanks so much. And let's go around and get final thoughts. Why don't we go with Negede Abebe, chair of Grand and Travelers Cab Companies, then Pete Harmon, and we'll finish up with Jim Dixon. Negede.
Thank you for, Mr. Dixon and this association not supporting, though they didn't take official position supporting the medallion. Saying that, I believe that we, the Small Business Association and the Association of the Blind Business, has to work together and resolve this issue and go through all levels of implementation and educating the driver. I believe that educating the driver might be my first priority, because some of the drivers, for some reason, might not know. There are very few drivers who do that, but the majority of the drivers, I believe, provide the service, and they don't have that hard herd to pass by a passenger with a service animal. So it is a good opportunity for both of us to work together and educating the driver and work also on enforcement part of this problem. And I thank you. We have a partner now, and you guys have a partner, Small Business Association, to work with. And I thank you very much for the time and for the opportunity.
Thanks. Thanks so much, Ngede. Pete Harmon, your final thoughts. Apparently, we've lost Pete Harmon. So, Jim Dixon, thank you so much for joining us, with representing the American Association of People with Disabilities. I'd love to have your final thoughts.
Thank you for having me on the show, and I think we can work this out.
Thanks so much, and I look forward to continuing to cover this very serious issue here on the Voice of DC Cab Drivers, as I think as Pete and Ngede, and I know many drivers will point out, it's not acceptable for this level of discrimination to take place. This entire show will be posted at thefightback.org, where you can download and listen to it, as well as all the past shows, and you can even listen on your smartphone. So next week, we're going to turn to the situation in Prince George's County, where last year, drivers had legislation that was passed that provided medallions directly to drivers. This is a industry in Prince George which is dominated by a hand, really just a couple of owners. And more recently, that legislation was reversed, a real blow to drivers. But the Prince George's County Taxi Workers Alliance is stepping up and collecting signatures. They need some 10,000 in the next 90 days in order to put this question on as a referendum coming up. So we're going to spend a significant amount of time talking with District 1 Councilmember Mary Lehman, who voted against the legislation, as well as with Henok Wogders, who's with the Prince George's County Taxi Workers Alliance. I interviewed them earlier today, and we're going to bring that interview next week here on the Voice of DC Cab Drivers. Thanks to Francis for engineering. Again, the show will be posted at thefightback.org. Tune in next week. You were just listening to the Voice of DC Cab Drivers, brought to you by Dominion of Cab Drivers here on WST 1120 AM. Tune in Sundays from 7 to 8 p.m. to catch the show live, or to download and listen to past programs, visit thefightback.org.
I'm not the only soul accused of hit and run. Tire tracks all across your back. I can see you had your fun, but darling,